Hallelujah. I was just thinking about last summer and being excited to come to the house of God. I don't know. There's just something that motivated me to cut my vacation trip short last year, and I got thinking about vacation, and who doesn't think about vacation right now when there's like we're getting like 3 inches of snow? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I need to kind of think past this kind of moment right now, because
right.
I'm not really kind of enjoying what I'm looking out the back window and seeing something measurable on my deck. But God never disappoints. There's something that He puts in us that drives us, that propels us, that pushes past certain things, that brings us to where we are today. If it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord,
yes.
If it wasn't being empowered by His Spirit,
yes.
I don't know where I would be.
Yes.
There are some things that the Holy Ghost does that will just drive us and push us further than we could ever do on our own, just supernaturally. But when I don't have the strength to carry on, God just picks me up and carries me. He goes, I know that you only have the strength to only go this far, but I'm going to take you the rest of the way. And I look back and I look up and I'm like, how did I get here? It was only because of the goodness of the Lord that I'm here standing today. And that is my testimony. And there's people that write these songs of years ago, and they are testifying through their songs, and we get to testify through our songs as we get to worship here.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. There's an excitement that I really have a hard time keeping to myself.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it becomes contagious when we come to the house of God, because we feed off each other.
Yes.
Because somebody may not be feeling the way I feel, and I might be feeling like this every time I come into the house of God. But when I get here, if I can affect somebody in a positive way, they're going to need this to carry on. But there's times I'm going to come in here, and I could say there was a few weeks ago, I came in here, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of the night. I don't know how I'm going to go home and face what I have to face. But I was encouraged when I came to the house of the Lord, when I brought my prayers and petitions before God, and He heard me. And He hearkened into my voice. And there's times when we pray and we don't even know how to get the words out. Does anybody have times when I can't get the words out? I can't express the words, but Lord, He heard my heart's prayer.
Yeah.
Just like He heard Hannah's heart prayer. Are you drunk? Are you out of your mind? No, my heart is just expressing something that I can't put in words. And the Lord has heard Hannah's prayer, and this time next year, she's going to have a boy. And just like can anybody testify to this?
Yes, amen.
Yes.
I get excited. I get a loss for words.
Jesus.
It's good to see everybody here.
Yes.
I better get on my text so you can sit down and have some rest. This morning's lesson is Sister Rose. It's the voice in the storm. I walked over here this morning, and she was explaining to the young children about hearing God's voice. And when you come to pray, don't always just come to have something to say. Come to listen to what God has to say in your prayer. That is so much more important, because I believe God has so much more to say to us than we have to say to Him. He wants to share more with us. If we would just allow ourselves to take a moment of silence, Lord. Lord, I pray for your kingdom come. But at the threshold, your will to be done, I need to set my will aside. Lord, what do you have to say? What would you like to do here today in this service? Because He made this day, and it's special, and He prepared it. And He was here way before we got here. He was here anticipating to do something way before we came and were getting ready to come here today. He was ready to do something for us, for every one of us, individually, collectively, but individually as well. So, in our text this morning, it's in Acts 27, verses 14 through 25. It says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into it and the quicksand strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Before you be seated, if we could just pray. Lord, I believe that you have some specific things that you want to impart and to speak into somebody's spirit here today in the next few minutes, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I would stay on path, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I would be an effective communicator this morning, that you know right where we all are right now, individually, Lord, through what season and what time that we are in the stages of our life. You know right where we are. And you want to speak in our storm, and you want to speak here today in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated at this time. It was in the summer of 2017, Hurricane Harvey, as we could well remember. It was a tropical storm that brought over 2 feet of rain down in Dallas, Texas. There was 30,000 people that were left homeless, and there was people that were stranded in their homes. There was people sticking their heads out the windows of their second-story homes looking for somebody to rescue them. They were being rescued by boats, by rafts, by any kind of floating device. And it was something that took many of them by surprise. They knew that they saw this, they heard about those weather storm coming, but they did not know to the extent of how bad it was going to be. Otherwise, they would have left their homes, and some of them have lost their lives. But it was a lot of them. It took them by surprise, and I remember it was the flood of '96. Does anybody remember that here? I remember it so clearly, and when I got thinking about this flood, Hurricane Harvey, that hit Dallas, Texas, I remember. The flood of 96, we had 17 inches of rain within 24 hours. I remember my dad waking me up at 1:30 in the morning, and I was living in Montgomery at the time, and he woke me up, and he said, let's go, your sister's house is being flooded. And I remember driving to Boulder Hill at the time, and I remember driving past some cars, and I don't know how we got through some roads that we were going down, but I remember when the sun came up, and the effects of the storm, I saw cars literally floating. There was waves, there was ripples, I saw canoes going down the center of streets. It was something that I will never forget. I believe Millington, the bridge, was it underwater at the time? If not, it was right there at the bridge. Even today, over time, over all these floods that we've had and heavy rains, it's affected that bridge, and that's why it's been out for the past year or two. But we're going to be hit with things in life that are going to take us by surprise at times. We're going to be hit with a storm. It's going to be devastating. We don't always know when these things are going to happen to our lives. They're going to take us by surprise. We may have a warning. Paul had this unction. He's like, I told you guys, don't do this. But how many times have we gotten advice from people and we didn't follow after the advice given to us? And how many times have we given advice to others and we're like, I wish you would have taken my advice. You wouldn't be in the position you are today. But I believe we've been both sides of this conversation. But Paul heard something. He was something that happened to him while he was in the storm. He got to hear God's voice. And that is something very special that don't ever take it for granted. And don't give the enemy any more credit than he deserves to get. God allows storms to come in our life for a reason. It's no mistake. It's no accident. Don't say, oh, the devil did this. Don't give him more credit than he deserves. God allows storms in our life to prepare us, to strengthen us for things yet to come in our life. Because if it wasn't for certain storms and tragedies and circumstances in my life, I wouldn't be prepared to do the things that God has prepared me to do here today. It's a strengthening thing. It's a resistance thing. It's for my good. I thank God for those tests and trials. I thank God for those people that turned their back on me and betrayed me and said those things about me. It's okay. I thank God for that because I am here today as a living testimony that God has bettered me for it. It didn't destroy me. It wasn't meant to take me out. If God wanted to take me, I wouldn't be here before you today. And you wouldn't be here where you are today if it wasn't for those tests and those trials, because you are stronger here today than you ever were before. And that should be encouraging to you. It's encouraging to me. Every time I see somebody in here that has gone through a storm in life, you encourage everybody in here. You are a living testimony. We are all a living testimony. The ones that have endured times and seasons and been here for decades, you guys are all living testimonies. And you are encouraging younger generations. You're encouraging me. And that's a trickle-down effect. And I pray that I'm an encouragement to the generation before me, because you are an encouragement to me. And we're passing something on from one generation into another. There's a testimony that you share that I'm able to share as well. Similar experiences. Your storm is different than my storm. You have a specific situation that God has placed in your life that is unique like nobody else's. And I have a specific storm and a situation that is like nobody else's. But it's to strengthen me. It's to prepare me for something. It's always a moving forward process. It isn't to set me back. It isn't to put me somewhere where I shouldn't be. Paul did not go through what he went through to be set back. God's purpose and his promises and his plan is in his life and our lives are to be fulfilled. Sometimes there are distractions. Sometimes they're for us to see, are we going to focus on the situation at hand? Or are we going to focus on the God and the source where the promise came from? Because there is something that's going to propel me. There's something that the Holy Ghost does for me that propels me. It's one of those things I can testify about, that when God filled me with his spirit is not what I expected, but there is a drive that he has given me. There's something that he is causing me to move forward in this walk, in this talk with him. When I can't carry on, he talks to me. He is with me. Even before he filled me with the Spirit, he was walking with me, just like he was walking with Paul at that time. He goes, Paul, I love you. I have more for you, and I am with you. But I want to be in you. I want to do things through you. And I don't know. If you could recall that there's times where God will place people in your lives, good people in your life, that haven't experienced God's salvation plan yet. But that's okay, because God is going to use you to water something that he has already planted in their life. You are just a vessel that you're pouring something to add. God's about to give the increase. There are good people. And I look back and I'm like, this woman has a tremendous talent. A tremendous testimony, but God, they haven't been filled with the Spirit yet. But that's okay. God has more. He had more for Paul. He had more for me. I remember the week of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was here. I was standing. I was broken. I was starting to see things clearly. I was overwhelmed. I went up and talked to Brother Davis after church on a Wednesday night, and my heart felt like it was ready to explode. I'm like, everything is starting to make sense, and it did not make sense before. And it was that following service on the Sunday morning, I walked out of the aisle by faith, and God filled me with the Spirit because he was with me every step of the way. People in this church were influences to me. People would call me and say things, and they would give me a book. I remember Sister Pat giving me a book about the five steps of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I'm at number five. The only thing left is for me to be filled with the Spirit. And I remember somebody saying, I expect to get a phone call that God's going to fill you with the Spirit. And it was 3 days later, God filled me with the Spirit, and they got that phone call. Because there was more. God was with me, but his desire was to be in me, and his desire is for so much more. And for where I was then and to where I am now and to where he's taken me to, he is taking you to places you can't imagine. He's taken me to places that I can't imagine. I can't imagine to some of the places I've already been, but this is just a taste. There's a foretaste of glory divine that was we were just singing about. We're
there's something heavenly that just starts to take place where I literally feel elevated in here. Eventually, I'm going to get to the lesson. I'm going to try to squeeze it in for the sake of time. Maybe I'll have to talk a little faster and you'll have to pay more attention. But there's something that is elevating us. And God says he calls us to sit together in heavenly places. And when he raises us up, he wants to put things underneath us. And when we, these life circumstances, these trials and these tests, he goes, you're looking at them at eye level. He goes, I see things from a different perspective. Let me take you up here and let me show you some things from a different perspective. You're facing things head on and you're getting weary and well-doing and your posture is changing. He's saying, put your neck up, put your head up, put your chin up, look up. I am here. I am with you the whole time. Now that I am elevating you, I want you to look down. I want you to look at what your circumstance and your situation differently. Because it isn't that bad. And if you see things and you get a glimpse of things from my perspective, these are nothing. These are trivial. These are light afflictions. There's nothing to what compares to what is to come. May there be something that drives us past our circumstances, that we quit seeing them at a high level, and that we get so close to God that our perspective of things changes and we are elevated. It is up to us to allow ourselves to be elevated. We could sit here, we could come here every Sunday morning and do the same thing and not participate and partake in this divine heavenly experience. But if we engage, he is here and he is ready for us to engage. He's like, I'm the power source. I just want you to plug in. You plug in and something's going to happen that is going to blow your mind. He is blowing my mind continually here today. He is propelling. He is propelling. He propelled Paul through many tests and trials in his life. And he's propelling you and me here today. I want to encourage somebody, but I want somebody to just continually get a pat on the back. We are here to be encouraged to move forward. We are not here to get a pat on the back from week to week. We are here to be encouraged when we're down, and we are only supposed to be down for so long because everybody's going to fall. We're going to fall many times, but it's not about the falling. It's about the getting up. It's about the moving forward. I need to move forward. God's got more for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And these are metaphors. These storms in life are metaphors. And Job, Isaiah, and Ezekiel all spoke of storms in life as metaphors. We all experience storms in life. David was a man after God's own heart, and he spoke of having tears both day and night. He said, day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? And David was able to testify with confidence that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles. Nobody is an exception here. But the Lord comes to rescue each time. I'm going to face troubles, but the Lord, every time, he has never failed me to rescue me out of my troubles every time. That trouble, that trial, that tragedy was not to take me out. That was for God to show that he is God. I am here to be your God, and I'm a God who rescues my people. You belong to me. I purchased you. I will rescue you. Guaranteed, take it to the bank. Beloved, in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. It's going to happen. I need to be encouraged at days. You need to be encouraged at days. Your trial may happen in a different season. My trial may happen in a different season. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God. This is something never to take lightly. I can't even stress it enough. Jesus spoke of causing the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and how he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Things are going to come your way. It's not going to be easy. I had no intention for you to make it on your own. I designed the church for you to be a part of. I put people in your life to be voices, to speak to you specifically in things in your life. You need to listen. You're in a storm right now. I want to speak. I want to impart something to you. God wants to speak. Do we have an attentive ear to listen? Or do we always just utter, Lord, let me be quiet. Let me just hear your voice. Let me just meditate. Let me think upon your word. Let me think upon your promises. Let me not be distracted. God cannot lie. He cannot fail. God always has a plan. The enemy only has a plot. God has calculated everything in your life. He has even calculated the plot the enemy has tried to put against his plan. Everything is for a plan and a purpose and a season. I'll never forget this. It was in 2005. It was in 2005, July 27th. I closed on the house that I'm in today. I remember taking a walk down the street. We lived about a block and a half away at the time. The girls were little. And I remember, this is the place I want to have where my girls graduate from high school and have their graduation parties in the backyard. And I remember going to work at the day of closing and taking off at noon to go to the closing here in town. I was working at the YMCA at the time. They just remodeled. It used to be an old skating rink, and they were there. I was there working, and at noon I went to the closing. I came out with some money left over in the bank after the closing, but I woke up the next day. I didn't have work the next day. I didn't have work for the next 2 months. You talk about a storm that hit the house, that hit your finances. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? You know, there was this, it had something to do with this trickle-down effect from 9/11. And we didn't get it right away, but it just seemed like it was just trickling a little bit here and there and spotty. And all of a sudden, I got stuck in a devastating storm. And I'm like, this is incredible. I didn't see it coming. And I just bought a house. Oh, my goodness, you know. How am I going to pay the light bill next month? And I'm like, what's happening? But it doesn't take God's surprise. And nobody's exempt from things like this. It was within hours of the Henry Pratt shooting in February that the news went national. And I was telling somebody, more than one person, that the chief of police in the city of Aurora is Kristen Zimmern. When she spoke, and she was at the news conference, and when you flip to every channel had her on the screen at the time. And I just found this out Friday in the news that when she gave that press conference, and she did an amazing job, but somebody noticed she had a lump on her throat. And she went to go get a biopsy and get it checked out. But if it wasn't for that to happen, she would have never went and found out that she had a couple of benign tumors in her neck. But it was being there in the spotlight at the time that caused somebody to say something to her. But at the same time, that same day, there were some dads that went to work on a Friday and never came home that day. A storm hit some people's houses that day, and their lives were never the same. And we're never guaranteed some things in life. We're never guaranteed to wake up tomorrow morning. Let's just take care of things today. There's some things that God wants to do today, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. There was, this is in Ecclesiastes 3:1-3, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pick up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. It's that last verse. He goes, there's a purpose for everything in our life, even when it makes no sense at all. And there's a season and a purpose for every breakdown, and there's a season and a purpose for every time of healing. And I love that one particular scripture in that text that I didn't read to you, where there's a time to dance, and we all want to get to the time of dancing, but there's a time to break down. It's okay to be broken, to be broke down, but God says there's also a time to heal. You're going to go through a season of a breakdown, but you're going to go through a season of healing. And there's a purpose and a season for it, he said. Nothing is accidental. It's all for a purpose and for a plan, and it's your particular season. I thank God that God knows right where I'm at today. I thank God that he knows where I'm going to be a week or a month from now. And I look back and he knew where I was every day. And I know that there's times when I go in to pray and I get alone with God. And I just utter and begin to pray. I feel the presence of God so strong and so powerful that he hears even the simplest prayers in that season of life. God, he's with us in our storms. And we can lean on him. And I could personally testify that there is nothing too heavy for him that he can't handle in our life. And I know that there are elders in this church that can also testify that there is nothing too heavy for God that he cannot handle here because he's handled it in their life. And you're all a living testimony. This older generation, you are testifying every time you walk through the doors of this place. Like I said, this is one of those things where being filled with the Holy Ghost was what I expected, but it wasn't what I expected. And 2 Corinthians 11:23-28 says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck at night and day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. The care of all the churches, I deal with this stuff every day. But there's something that's propelling me past the stuff. It's my care. It's my love for the church. It's my love for my brothers and sisters that is propelling me past these, what he calls those light afflictions. God, help me when I look at those circumstances in my life and I say, this is terrible. I'm done. God, forgive me if I ever say that I'm done with him, or that I'm done with this, that this is going to take me out. God, forgive me for that. The Lord was with Paul, and he's with us too. This was written years ago in a periodical called Today in the Word. It says, "The vine clings to the oak during the fiercest of storms. Although the violence of nature may uproot the oak, twining tendrils still cling to it. If the vine is on the side of opposite of the wind, the great oak is its protection. If it is on the exposed side, the tempest only presses it closer to the trunk. In some of the storms of life, God intervenes and shelters us, while in others he allows us to be exposed so that we will be pressed more closely to him. A purpose and a plan is a season." He goes, I want you to be closer to me. It's no accident. I'm here to harm you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to wrap my arms around you. I'm here to encourage you here today. Has it ever, you ever been rained on and you were the only one without the umbrella? I've had this happen to me. I'll never forget it. It was when the kids were little. We went to Disney World. It was our last day on our trip. And literally, we didn't even have time to go back to the resort to pack our bags. They were already taken care of. It was going to go to the airport. So we went to Magic Kingdom. And all of a sudden, if you're in Florida, anybody knows Florida, you're going to get rain out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, the rain hit. And everybody's heading for a canopy. And I remember there was this little pop-up canopy. They were selling some kind of concession there. And I remember everybody was underneath the canopy, but from here back was not underneath the canopy. And man, when that rain hit and everything off the canopy hit the back of my shirt, the back of my pants and my shoes, I was soaking wet. And I know what it's like to get rained on like that and to be the only one. God, your testimony at times where God is going to shelter you and God is going to cover you. But you also have another testimony is when God doesn't shelter you, you're able to hear his voice. And you'll never forget those times when you didn't feel like you were covered and all you could do was just stand there and you felt like you were just getting pounded on and by waves of torrential rain and life and storms. And it just seemed like, is this ever going to stop? My testimony here today is I am able to hear his voice in the storm. Aren't you thankful for that? If we can stand at this time. Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, Paul emphasized the certainty of God's promises. Paul stated, for all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Whatever God has promised us, we should never let go of the promise. His word is true, and he will not go back on his word. This is a good time to get a regrip on something God has spoken personally in your life, on a promise that he has imparted to you. If it hasn't been fulfilled in your life, it's not that he is slack on his promise. I just need to regrip on what the Lord has told me that hasn't come to pass yet. It needs to propel me to move forward. I'm not going to wallow, and I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to bend over. I'm not going to look down, but I'm going to look up to where my help comes from. My help's come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who brings these storms in my life to strengthen me, to prepare me for things I would never be able to accomplish if I wasn't able to face these storms, and I would never be able to face them without him. Whatever our storm may bring in our life, and whatever we may experience, may we be certain to hear his voice in the storm. In Jesus' name.
Still I will trust you. Still.